The service morning will be a little bit different due to the extreme cold we had this morning with not having Sunday school. It's going to be a kind of a mix between a worship service and a Sunday school service. And so we're going to kind of do a little bit of both here. But we're going to look at the book of Proverbs this morning. There are some great truths that we can glean from this book. But we're also going to take some thoughts and some applications here in just a little bit. And hopefully that'll help us to be able to take some things away that might bring us to some understanding and some help as we look at this. Look at verse 1. My son, if thou will receive my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto death, unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. In this passage, we see a lot of kind of chunks of truth that we can glean from. Look back at verse 1. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So God is saying for us as children of God to not only receive the commandments of God, but hide them in our hearts. Put your finger here, go over Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. In this, he starts off with the word if. A conditional word meaning that you could or could not do this thing. It's something that you have to decide on your own if you are going to allow the word of God to be a part of your life or is not. And here in the book of Luke, Jesus gives a parable in verse 11. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So Jesus is explaining to the disciples the application of this parable that he had just given, so they could understand what he was saying. We know Jesus spoke in parables to bring this spiritual message into an earthly understanding, so that then maybe from that they could glean from that some spiritual truth. Right? We talked about this a lot, about John chapter 2 and Jesus speaking spiritually and the people hearing physically. And John chapter 3, when Jesus is talking about being born again, Nicodemus says, do I got to crawl back in my mother's womb? He's only hearing physically. John chapter 4, When the woman at the well, she says, you drink of the water that I'll give you, and you shall never thirst again. And she said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's not understanding. So Jesus gives this understanding, this application, if you will, the explanation of the parable so that they can understand. And he says that the seed that is sown by the wayside are those that hear the word, then the devil cometh away and snatches that word out of them. Then the second group, he said, are the ones that are on the rock. When they hear and receive the word with joy, but there's no root. So when temptation comes, that word is plucked out. And then the third one was the ones that fell among thorns, and the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life choke out that word, so it brings forth that fruit doesn't come to perfection, or that fruit doesn't come to harvest. And so if we take that now and go back to chapter 2 of Proverbs, and look at verse 1. Now we see why God says, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So listen, we can do all the hearing of the word that we want to, but if it does not take root into our life and our heart, it's not going to profit us all that it could profit us. It's not going to yield the yield that we want it to yield. And so he is encouraging him, Solomon here is encouraging, listen, I want you to hide this word in your heart. I want you to take this word of God, not only just receive it by hearing it, but I want you to stick it inside of you into your heart. Look what verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So he takes it a little bit deeper now. Now he says, listen, not only do I want you to hear it, but I want you to take that word and I want you to apply it to your life. I want you to make application to your life. I want you to come to a place that when you hear the word of God, you don't just stop there. And listen, that's where most of us spend a lot of our lives. We hear it, but we don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. That's why meditation is so vital. That's why in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, he says, meditate day and night. Right? That's why he implores us to do that. Listen, there's a lot of things in our Christian life that we do. Praying, giving, speaking words of affirmation to other people, encouraging people, reading, studying the Word of God. But God says, this one thing I want you to do day and night. Not only that, but if you go and you study it out, you'll find at noontime and in the night watches, you're going to find that you should be in a spirit of meditation, meditating on the Word of God. When the Word of God, something that you read or something maybe you hear, that you stick that thing in your heart and then you're just kind of rolling that thing over through your mind throughout the week. Listen, there's a lot of things that we do that with. I mean, a lot of people roll around politics in their mind all week, thinking about, man, you know, if Pelosi and those people only get what they deserve, and if these people only get what they deserve, and bless God this, and bless God that. It's the same thing that's been going on for 10 years, but we're still rolling that thing around our mind. Get that stuff out and put the word of God in and let that roll around in your mind, and then it'll be profit to you. But again, the key to this one is he says, is the key word here in verse 2, is apply. Apply. Apply what you're reading. Read a passage of scripture, then begin to look at it and say, okay, now how does this affect me? How do I put this into my life that I might be able to practice that thing? When you're going through a trouble or trial in your life, it would behoove you. It would be very beneficial for you to find some verses. And if you can't find them, ask somebody. Ask a brother or sister in Christ. Ask me. Ask somebody that you encourage you in the Word. Say, listen, here's what I'm dealing with. Give me a verse. Because it's that verse that will help you. I remember there was a time in my life where things were being said about me and some ridicule and things like that. And man, I had to get that verse. Answer not a fool according to the filing. Lest thou be like unto them. Right? There's times in my life where things are going on and maybe in family situations or in church situations. And I had to get the verse in my mind and heart that listen, he that passes by, meddle with strife, not belonging to him, is like a man that taketh a dog by the ears. So find that verse and meditate. Whatever it is you're struggling with, find a verse. Because here's the reason. When he says, apply thine heart to understanding, there are things in this life that we're going to deal with spiritually that we have to convince ourselves of. There are going to be times in your life where you can read a verse about how wonderful and loving and God is, but there's going to be times in your life where struggles are going to happen and you're going to struggle with it. You say, come on, preacher, really? I mean, love God? No, yeah, love God. There's going to be times in your life where you, you know, people will come to you and say,
all things work together. Then love God, then call the work works.
But there's going to be times in your life where I'm going through stinks. Like, it ain't good. Like, I can't find the good in this. And you're going to have to convince yourself. You're going to have to get verses that you can apply to your life in that situation that'll help you with those things. Put your finger here. Go over to Proverbs chapter 22. So he says, I want you to incline your ear unto wisdom. So if you, sometimes in our life, we need to think about, what am I inclining my ear to? What am I giving my ear to? And a lot of times in our life, it's not the word of God, it's other things. Maybe it's things that are going on in this life. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's ridiculing other people. Whatever it may be, what are you inclining? Look what Proverbs 22:17 says. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. So here's what verse 18 says. Verse 18 says, if you incline your ear to that knowledge of God, it'll be fitted to your ear. You will naturally speak because it's what's on your mind and heart. We speak what's on our heart. So if you're constantly listening to politics, you're going to speak politics. If you're constantly watching and taking in sports, you're going to talk about sports. If you're taking in the Word of God and reading the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God, you're going to naturally speak the Word of God. So in our own lives, a lot of times in private conversations, we can evaluate where our heart is by what we talk about. And then he goes on, verse 19, that thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee? Now that last verse there in 21 reminds me of the passage that God says in the epistles where he says, be ready always to give an answer to man for the hope that lieth in you. Right? He says, listen, if you will steal this in your heart, if you'll settle this word of God in your heart, I will send people to you for answers of the truth of the word of God. So again, we can apply that to our lives. If people come to us to gossip, then that's God's not sending those people to us. But if people constantly come to you for answers from scriptural things, that's because you are inclining yourself to the word of God. The more wisdom you know. Do you remember when Jesus was dealing with the disciples and he told them a truth? Can anybody remember what Jesus told them? The specific thing that he told them? About telling other people? What did he tell them to do? He said, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody this. Not yet, right? Because we know. Now we know, if you take the word of God out, you understand that. He's telling them because they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet to help guide them, right? So, but here's the point. When you get the knowledge in you and the understanding of God in you, he said, I will send the words of truth to them that send unto thee. So God, people are going to come to you for truth if you have that truth. Look at chapter 23 and look at verse 12. Chapter 23 of Proverbs, verse 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thy ears to the words of knowledge. Back to chapter 2 now. So God is laying out before us this the importance of listening, reading, and hearing the word of God. Look at verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. Go over to Psalms chapter 42. Psalms chapter 42. If thou criest after knowledge. When he uses the word Christ here, it makes me think of somebody who's desperate. My mind goes to somebody standing on the second floor of an apartment on fire, a house on fire, crying for someone to save them, right? But crying after, if we come to the place where we feel desperate enough, we see our depravity enough in ourselves that we need God, we're going to cry out for that. Look at Psalms 42. When I think of a passage that gets to the heart of the matter of what it's like for us, what our mindset should be in seeking the word of God, it's this one. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, most of us have been in a situation where we've been outside in the summer and been working, and you get all dried up, and all you want is just some water. And that's the thought I have as someone, as a deer, diligently seeking the water, finding a smell in the air, but looking for that water. It's that understanding that God gives to us here. So when he says, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, verse 3 reminds us that we have to ask for that wisdom. We have to ask for that understanding and that wisdom that God has. We'll get into that here when we get to verse 6. Look at verse 4 now of chapter 2. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. When we think about this passage in Psalms, it says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He's trying to lay in our hearts that the knowledge and wisdom that we can get from the Word of God should be greater than what we go out to earn money and to earn wages and things like that. That should be our desire, should have that great desire in our heart to be able to get to the Word of God. Look over at chapter 3 now of Proverbs, look at verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Now, this is not the first time we're going to see something like this. But what was the adjective used for this man? Happy. We live in a day where emotional problems is great. Depression, anxiety, all those things, a very real problem. I listen sometimes, people talk about it, and they're like, oh, depression, blah, blah, blah. No, I mean, it's real. We know it, it's real, because we find people in the scriptures with that. Elijah just got done raining down fire from heaven, and then you turn around, he's sitting under the tree, depressed out of his mind. So we know it's real, we know it's those things. But he says here, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. So one of the things that we can do when we find ourselves in a pit of despair is to go to the Word of God and start reading. You say, where? Anywhere. Anywhere. God can help you. God will work with you. God can help change your heart. Then he goes on to verse 14. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. So God is saying, listen, the riches of this world cannot compare to the wisdom of God's word. And it's one of the reasons why I believe it's pavement in heaven. We know that there's streets of gold. That what we desire, what people clamor for, what people give their lives for is meaningless when it gets to that place. Look at verse 5 of chapter 2 now. He goes on and he says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. He says, listen, when you seek the word of God and you seek understanding, you seek that wisdom, you will then understand the fear of the Lord. Now, look at chapter 1 and look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when we look at this and we understand the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and knowledge and understanding is what we want, that means we have to understand what that fear of the Lord is and how do we get that in our life so that we can get the wisdom of God. Look at verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. There is no doubt that you can gain knowledge and understanding from the preaching of God's word. There's no doubt that you can gain knowledge and understanding from commentaries and maybe somebody's study on a passage. There's no doubt that you can do that. However, there's no replacement for the word of God himself, because out of God's mouth comes wisdom and instruction. You know, I've settled in my heart, I look at this as, I can maybe help you, but the only thing that God's promised to bless is his word. He's never promised to bless my words. Now, if I speak his words, he'll bless it. But just for me to sit here and speak for 20 or 30 minutes on a verse and just clamor on and on and on and never use another verse and never talk about the Word of God again, but go on with story after story or illustration after illustration, is not going to help you. It might give you some temporary help, but it's out of his mouth comes wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all those things. And so we need, it just, again, drives home the importance of the Word of God and get it into your life, taking time to read it, to learn it, to understand it, that it might help you in your everyday life. Now, let's go to James chapter 1. Put your finger here, go to James chapter 1. With all this talk of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, a lot of times, and I've had people say, look, hey, I've never been the most studious person. Like, school was not my thing. I'm not a good learner. I'm not a good test taker. I'm not a good any of this. And I always look at them and I say, you know what? That's a good thing because it has nothing to do with you. Knowledge and wisdom and understanding from the Scripture has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your ability to understand or to articulate or do anything like that. Because look what he says here. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. I mean, God is going to give you wisdom and understanding that you never had, you could not understand before. How many times in our lives have we gone through situations? We pray and ask God for wisdom. And he gives us wisdom beyond what we ever could have understood. We would have never been able to come up with that. How many times I've read the Word of God or talked to people and we share things about the Word of God and we'll say, hey, look what I saw. You know, and then we'll say, man, that's crazy. That doesn't understand for us. I didn't either. But we don't want that. Nothing new under the sun. And so God says, listen, I will give you. All you have to do is ask me for knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and I'll give it to you. And notice the wording here. It says, upbraideth not. He's not going to ridicule you. Most people, I was just talking to a preacher about this week. I said, it's how to get somebody to a place to where you're willing to risk saying the wrong thing. So like if we do, in Sunday school, we have open things. We'll have questions. And what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And people are a little hesitant to raise their hand because they may say something that's not right. And I get that. Because a lot of times we're not a forgiving people, right? We'll sneer, we'll laugh, all those kind of things. But God's not going to do that. If you go to God in prayer and you say, God, look, I'm reading this verse, God, and I can't figure out what it says. And you pray to God and ask God for wisdom and you meditate on that verse. I've gone years meditating on a verse, not all the time, but off and on, before I finally got an answer to what that verse meant and what God was trying to teach my heart at that time. And so he says, listen, I'm not going to upbraid you. I am not going to ridicule you, but I'm going to give it to you, and it shall be given him. Go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. So wisdom comes out of his mouth. He does not speak to us audibly today, but he speaks to us through his word. His words that we have been given, that it might help us. Look what Psalms 119, 104 says. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false thing. So God says, listen, I'm going to give you understanding through the precepts. I'm going to give you understanding through the Word of God, that it might help you and encourage you in the day-to-day life. Back to Proverbs, look at verse 7. So God is laying a foundation here for a believer to get to the place to where they can get knowledge and understanding. We think about, you know, you hear people talk about maybe somebody will say that they have wisdom beyond their years. Right? They have wisdom beyond their years. When Jesus was speaking in the temple, they were marveling at him because of his ability to understand and know the scriptures. Now, they didn't realize that the living word was standing in front of them. But still, they were amazed by that. Look at verse 7 now. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So God says, I want to lay up this sound wisdom for you. I want this to layer up in your life. I want to build upon little by little in your life. That's why he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, Because as a baby, he does not expect you to understand some of the more difficult things that Christians go through later on. He's going to grow you and nurture you in an admonition of the Lord. But as you grow, he's going to give you a little bit more, give you a little bit more, give you a little bit more. The more you can handle, then you get to ribeyes. Hallelujah. It's a good old ribeye. And so he says, listen, I want you to have this mindset of drawing to me that through the word of God, I might help you to be able to lay up this sound wisdom in your life. Now, he says, layeth up, he's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. That word buckler means shield. So he says, not only will I give you wisdom, but if you get in the word of God, I will shield you from the things that are going on in this life. That's why when you look at some Christians and you look at the things they're going through and you can't figure out how in the world can that person be going through all those things and it just seems like it doesn't affect them? Because the word of God is a buckler. It's a shield to them. They're shielded from those things. It reminds me of Ruth, where Boaz looks at Ruth and he says that under whose wings thou art come to trust. Ruth put herself under the wings of God. So under the wings of God, she didn't feel the storms of life around her. She was in perfect peace and contentment. It's kind of like when Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship and the disciples come and they're throwing out water and throwing out water and throwing out water in the boat and the water keeps coming and keeps coming and they see no help in sight. They go down and they say, Lord, carest not that we perish? And Jesus steps up out onto the top of the boat and he says, peace. Be still. And just like that, peace of God in your life. There are going to be times in your life where you're going to be going through the storms of this life. And it's going to be raging in your life. And then you're going to go to God. And you're going to ask God for help. And God's just going to go, and peace is going to come into your life. And all those struggles and trials and tribulations that were around you, you don't feel them anymore because you're in the presence of God. And God's working and moving in your life and helping you in those things. Look at verse 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Look over at Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 23. He says, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. And then in Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It says, guard your heart. Don't allow your heart to be drawn to the things of this world. Don't allow your heart to be captured by the things that are going on and the troubles and the trials and tribulations that are going on in this life. Rumors of wars and all those things. Listen, I'm almost 50 years old. I'm telling you, it's been the same. It's like the same cycle over and over and over again. Don't get caught up in it. It's like it's the same thing, just a different look. But he says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Don't allow those things to do it. Make the word of God the part of your life. So what comes out of you are the issues of life. The issues of life and the word of God comes forth. Look at verse 9 of chapter 2. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. He says, listen, I want you to come to the place in your life where you will, the righteousness of God, the judgment of God, the equity of God will lead you in the path that God has for you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let the word of God lead and guide you that way. Look at verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So now we see when that wisdom of God enters into your soul, when it gets into you, this is what's going to happen. Knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. It brings a pleasantness to you. It brings something joyful in your life. It's going to help you to be encouraged by the things of God. Put your finger, go over to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. When we deal with the turmoil of this life, sometimes it's nice when you run into that person that's not jaded with the things of this world, but just joyful of the things of God, and you sit and talk for a while, you know, and you look and you say, you know, it's been really a pleasant time speaking to you. Because a lot of times you go talk to people, and, you know, it's kind of like that thing you never want to say, you know, how you doing today? Because they might tell you. And then you get, then you leave depressed because they depressed you. But this, he says, is pleasant to thy soul. It brings pleasantness. Look here at Proverbs 24:13. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. He says, listen, the knowledge of the word of God is something that's going to be pleasant to your soul. Just like honey is, and the taste of honey, it's going to be sweet, it's going to be great, and it's going to be a blessing to you. So again, in chapter 2 now, in verse 10, he said, when he says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, that means that it comes to a place in our lives where knowledge and understanding is more pleasant than sin is in our life. Listen, there is times in our lives where the pleasure of sin is very difficult for us to deal with. Because the things that are there become more pleasant than the things of God. Our battle is to keep the word of God so pleasant in our life that the things of this life, the sins of this life, do not become more pleasant than that. And that's a battle. Look at verse 11 again. And he says, discretion shall preserve thee. When you get wisdom in your heart, discretion will be a part of your life. And that discretion will preserve thee. Discretion is that is one of those results of wisdom that's going to come to your life. In Proverbs 12:1, he says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of the wicked devices is condemned. He says, listen, that discretion is going to keep you. It's going to help you to know and have wisdom and understanding in the circumstances of life that you're going to deal with. He said, not only will discretion preserve thee, but understanding shall keep thee. Understanding the word of God is going to help to keep you from falling away from the things of God. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. The word forward there is perverse or fraudulent. Look at verse 13. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Put your finger here, go over to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Whenever somebody turns and walks away from the Lord, you can always go back to the root problem, and that is that they did not seek wisdom and understanding and discretion from the Lord. They just didn't do it. Other things became more important. Reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, praying, meditating on the Word of God was not important to them. And it allows you to be drawn away from the things of this, from the things of God to this life. Look what 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 says. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. This is why it's important for us to pray for others for wisdom and understanding and knowledge to help them in those things. But I'm going to tell you, I remember people saying to me, well, the Bible says that if you train up a child in the way he should go, he should never depart from it. So how in the world can a person be trained up in the things of God and then later in their life walk away from the things of God? Isn't that a violation of the Word of God? It's not a violation of the Word of God. The Word is not correct. As a parent, I'm training our children to walk with God and to love God and to serve God. But when they're older, if they decide to turn away from the things of God, the stuff that I planted into their heart, the Word of God that we trained them up in, will never depart from them. It will always haunt them. So it's not that people might not turn away, because it's very clear from this passage in the Proverbs that there's always a possibility for us to turn away. I was talking with a gentleman on the cruise, and we were talking about the things of God, and we were talking about people walking away. And I said that one of the dangers of people that when they walk away is coming to a place in our spiritual life where we think that things are off limits for us. That this thing, I will never do this thing. Now listen, there are some things that I look at and I say, I can't see myself doing it. But if I get far enough away from the Lord, I've got to realize if I allow myself to draw away, don't read, don't study, don't pray, don't fellowship with God's people, if I get far enough away, there is nothing that that I would be susceptible. And if you think otherwise, you are in danger because you do not understand God says that if we are not careful, we will fall into those things as it goes back to the mire. What I've found and seen over the years of my life is when people get into the Word of God and people get saved, I'm thinking of a couple right now. They were lost into their 20s and 30s, maybe even early 30s. They got saved. They got a fire for the Lord. They were serving God. Some things happened in their life. They got disgruntled. They got angry. They walked away from God. I don't get on Facebook much because it burdens my heart to see it. But I'll see them and I see pictures of them and I'm thinking it's worse than what it was before they got saved. Because they're falling so far away. But God says, listen, discretion will keep you. Knowledge will keep you. Understanding will keep you. Go back to Proverbs chapter 2 now. Look at verse 21. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. The word perfect there means entire, without blemish. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. The wicked, the morally wrong, the guilty, the transgressors, that means to cover with garment, to deal deceitfully, those that are hypocrites. He said, those will be removed. He said, but what I want you to understand is the upright shall dwell in the land. The upright will have the opportunity to dwell with me, to walk with me, to talk with me. It would be good for us sometimes in our lives to meditate on the thought of the blessing of fellowshipping with God. We take it for granted. We take for granted the fact that we have the opportunity to fellowship with the God who created this world. Now, we don't get to walk with him in the cool of the day like Adam did before the fall. But through the Spirit of God and through the Word of God, I get to fellowship with him. Think about all the people in this world. When they get a chance to meet somebody, they all fall apart. Oh, I got to meet so-and-so. And people get, I never wash my hand again. I hope you do. Don't ever shake my hand. It's like, you know, I don't even go there. But it's like, you know, the guy that met, let there be light. The God of heaven we get to fellowship with. Let us never lose sight of that. So let's take this. Let's get a few thoughts and we'll make a quick application. If you look at verses 1 through 5, it has to do about you. It has to do about what you need to do. And then verses 6 through 10 or 6 through 9 is what God will do. If you will receive, if you will incline your heart, if you will cry after knowledge, if you'll seek for his soul treasure, then these things will happen. God is going to give you wisdom. He's going to lay up sound wisdom. He's going to keep you on the path of judgment. He's going to give you righteousness, judgment, equity. He's going to give you all those things. And then verses 10 through 12 is results of seeking wisdom and understanding. This is what comes from that. But let's apply it. How do we fear and know God? Verse 1, he says to receive the word of God. Number 2, we be hearers and doers of God's word. That's in verse 2. We have to desperately pray for wisdom from God. That's verse 3. And then we need to labor in the word with the same fervency that we do for wages in verse 4. This will help us to be able to know and understand what the fear of God is and who God is. But what is the result of that? Verse 5 tells us that we'll understand the fear of the Lord. Verse 5 also tells us we're going to find knowledge. Verse 6 tells us we're going to gain wisdom. That wisdom is going to come out of the mouth of God. And again, I can't express this enough. It is good to listen to preaching. It is good to read books about the things of God. It is good even to read, whether it's historical things or commentary, whatever it may be, to understand more about the Word of God. But you will never get what you get from them, what you get from the Scriptures itself. It'd be like if you could have a pineapple from the Dole plantation on Oahu versus a pineapple from Walmart down here. They are two totally different things. The freshness of the pineapple that's in on the Dole Plantation in Oahu is unbelievable. And if you love pineapple, go there sometime. You look at your spouse and say, now preacher said, find out if you want. I think we need to find it out. And you wait till it's gonna be like -30 and figure out that week and say, I think this is a good week to go and test what preacher said to be true or not. But there's just something different about that taste of something that came right out of the field versus 2 or 3 weeks later down the road. And to me, that's the vision I made. I can go get this 2 or 3 week old. It's still gonna be good, but I can go get this fresh for myself. So never lose sight of the fact of how wonderful and how great the Word of God is itself. Getting those things. Then in verse number 4, under that results of fearing and knowing God, is you'll walk uprightly. Verse 7 says that you'll be a buckler or a shield for you, and it'll preserve you in the way in verse 8. You'll have a pleasant demeanor when you read and study and understand the Word of God. He says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. When I find myself to be a little bit disagreeable or a little bit short with people, it's like an alarm that goes off in my mind. I'm not spending enough time in the Word of God. Because when I'm studying the Word of God and I'm reading the Word of God, my countenance will be pleasant. But if we're come to a place in our life where everything's a war, everything's a battle, everything's a fight, we're not reading the Word of God. Because that Word of God will create pleasantness within us and make us pleasant to be around in those things. And then he says, verse 11, that you will have godly discretion. It will preserve you. It will help you to understand and keep the things of God. It will deliver you from the evil man, verse 12. It will deliver you from the strange woman, verse 16. And when you know and understand the fear of God, and when you're getting that wisdom and understanding, you'll walk with good men. God will put you in contact with people that you can walk alongside that will encourage you and help you and strengthen you into things of God. I'm so thankful for the men in my life that have walked alongside of me at different points of my life that have encouraged me and strengthened me in times where I'd come to them and say, hey, look what I've seen here from the Word of God. And I'd share with them the Word of God and I'd say, well, that's great, but what about this verse? And then I'll look at that verse and I say, what about this verse? And I'll look at that verse and I'm like, well, that's stupid, I was wrong. He's like, no, you're not wrong. He said, you're learning, Michael. You're learning. You're never going to grasp all this. There's not a man on the face of this earth, not a woman on the face of this earth, that can say, I've got it all down. How many times have we individually read the Word of God, and you read the same passage you've read 10, 15, 20 times, and all of a sudden you see, like, I never saw that. And you're like, hey, look at this thing. Man, I saw this thing. I read the same chapter, or same book, 10 times a month, and I just saw this. And you get excited about it. It's a treasure trove of truth, but God will put you in line with good men and good people in your life to help you. And the reason why he does that is because in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Sometimes in our lives, we need people. And it behooves you to find these people in your life and keep them around, that in contact with them, that you can glean off them at times. Because sometimes you need people that have no understanding of the circumstances, that don't know the people involved, and you need to be able to share that with people. Sometimes you need to come and say, hey, look, Bridger, I'm dealing with this in my life. I need some counsel, but I don't want it from anybody that I know. I'd like it from some people, and I'll give you people. You've heard me speak of Brother Ed Tharp, one of my spiritual mentors, just really helped me. He was referred to me by somebody else. I didn't know the man. I shared with somebody, I said, here's what I'm going through. He said, hey, you need to call this guy. That guy's been through something similar. He can help you. And he and I developed a great relationship, became basically my best friend, 30 years my elder. But then finally it says, and the last thing we'll see here in verse 20, is it will keep you on the paths of righteousness. That's the Word of God. The Word of God is such a sweet, sweet thing in our lives. We need to study it. We need to labor in it. We need to read it. And we need to meditate on it. And when we do all these things, all the things in chapter 2 that God says here will be a blessing to us, but it'll also be a blessing to others. Because when we apply ourselves to knowledge and wisdom and understanding, God can then use us to be a help and a blessing to other people. And in our lives, a lot of times, We need to understand that if all's we do is for us, if it's all about me, then you're going to struggle. The ability to help and be a blessing to other people is a joy. It creates within you a wantingness and an understanding to realize that God loves me, God knows me, but yet still wants to use me, and that is a blessing. So get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God affect your life in a way that it might be a blessing to other people. Let's pray. Father, help us today to come to that place in our life where we can look at these truths that's found here in this chapter, that we might even draw back to